From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A cruise ship crew member is presumed dead after going overboard Monday night in Juneau waters. Residents reported seeing an emergency flare around 11 p.m. Monday. Coast Guard began its search that night with a local response boat and a Jayhawk helicopter from Air Station Sitka. Coast Guard Petty Officer Ian Gray says the Coast Guard suspended its search for the 31-year-old crew member just before noon today.
We searched for 38 nautical miles around the area for approximately 11 hours and concluded that with no results, we would end the search.
Gray offered condolences to the crew member's family. The missing crew member was on board Holland America's Koningsdam. In a statement Tuesday afternoon, the cruise line said camera footage showed that the crew member, quote, likely went overboard intentionally. The National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. Call or text 988. A group of federal officials is in Alaska this week to learn about the unique challenges the state faces when it comes to broadband connectivity. They spoke at a broadband summit this morning in Anchorage. Assistant Commerce Secretary Alan Davidson told the audience that the federal infrastructure bill, signed by President Joe Biden, will send potentially billions of dollars to Alaska over the next 5 years to bolster broadband access.
This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. People say that, but it's quite true. These kinds of resources, they don't come along very often. We're going to spend tens of billions of dollars in this country. We're going to spend billions here in Alaska, most likely.
Davidson described Alaska as one of the least connected states in the country when it comes to broadband due to its small population across a large landscape. Alaska Federation of Natives co-chair Anna Hoffman said the federal broadband funding could be a huge help. During one summit panel, she underscored the need to bridge the digital divide between Alaska and the rest of the nation.
All of the players have a chance to participate in this process and really bring solutions to our communities that are so desperate for them and look forward to them. And it's really bringing this first-class service to first-class people, and we deserve it.
Davidson also announced an agreement between the National Telecommunications and Information Administration and the Bureau of Indian Affairs to streamline the permitting process for high-speed internet projects on tribal lands. Governor Mike Dunleavy described the announcement as huge.
You don't want to start gearing up folks to be trained to be laying down fiber to the tune of thousands of individuals or connecting some of the broadband, and there's no job yet because we're still drawing out the permitting process.
At the summit, Governor Dunleavy also signed a bill that establishes an Office of Broadband, which will coordinate federal funding the state receives for broadband projects. The bill also establishes a statewide broadband advisory board. The summit was facilitated by Senator Dan Sullivan, who will accompany the federal officials on trips to Bethel and other Yukon-Kuskokwim villages, as well as Kodiak later this week. They already made stops in Fairbanks and Tanana. For the first time in a decade, the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, the source of more than half of Alaska's general purpose state revenue, posted negative investment returns for an entire fiscal year. The Alaska Beacon reports that the decline will not have an immediate negative effect on state finances, but continued losses over multiple years would reduce the amount of money available each year for state services and the permanent fund dividend. As of June 30th, the last day of the fiscal year, the fund reported having earned minus 1.3% over the preceding 12 months. That fiscal year, the fund's market value declined from $82 billion to $77 billion. That decline includes withdrawals and deposits, as well as the investment loss. Those figures are from the fund's monthly performance report for June, released last week. Final figures are expected later this month. Each year, the fund attempts to earn at least 5% plus the cost of inflation, the minimum necessary to keep the fund's inflation-adjusted value constant. Over the past year, the fund would have had to earn 14% to keep pace with inflation and withdrawals. Chief Investment Officer Marcus Frampton said the biggest reason for the loss is the stock market and noted that despite losing money overall, the Permanent Fund Corporation did better than its contemporaries. A dozen small businesses in Southeast Alaska are competing in this year's Path to Prosperity competition. All of the finalists will get training in business management, and two will walk away with a $25,000 prize. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
Aaron Agerman grew up in Wrangell and has watched the tourism industry grow there. On busy summer days, the town of 2000 sees hundreds of visitors disembark small and mid-sized cruise ships. So, Agerman and his wife Mickey thought up a business idea: electric scooters. Like the stand-up ones that kids kick around, but battery-powered.
Totally electric, no emissions or anything else like that. Nice, quiet transportation.
You might have seen them in bigger cities, rented out through phone apps from companies like Lime or Bird. But it would be a new business for Wrangell, and Agerman says they'd be cheap and easy transportation for tourists.
You kind of just pick one of these up and go. You don't have to worry about placing it. You simply just park it, take a picture, and push end ride, and put the kickstand up, and it's there. And that's all you have to do. You don't got to turn it back in anywhere. You can get from point A to point B and not worry about returning to point A if you don't want.
The scooters could be recharged as needed, which the couple can also manage online. They plan to start with 12 to 16 and grow from there. Agerman and his wife are finalists in the annual business competition run by Spruce Root, a regional nonprofit that promotes economic growth. Spruce Root was started in 2012 by Ha Ani, a subsidiary of Sea Alaska Corporation. For a second year in a row, the Path to Prosperity competition relates to tourism, specifically businesses that continue to benefit local residents. Isabella Haywood is the competition's administrator.
We wanted to make sure that local businesses are really equipped to build businesses in a way that not only like serve the visitors that come to the region, but also channel economic benefits from those visitors deep into their communities.
In October, the 12 finalists will go through a workshop learning how to polish their business plans. Rebecca Kameka is looking forward to it. She's a baker in Haines and would like to open a small restaurant focusing on tapas, wine, and dessert. Tapas are appetizers in Spanish cuisine and part of Kameka's Cuban heritage.
While people do eat on the ship, you know, I'm thinking a tapas thing is not, you know, you're not really committing to a whole meal. And maybe they're walking around, they're like, you know what, I do want a glass of wine or a beer. Get a small plate or a slice of cake, you know, kind of something a little bougie, I guess would be the word, and a bit atypical for the area.
She's not sure if she'd have a dine-in or walk-in situation, but either way, she's looking forward to more kitchen space. Currently, she bakes out of an apartment. For Kameka, baking is an art form. She tapes drawings of her ideas to the wall.
I'll sketch out my cake designs here and put them up, kind of look at them, you know, up until the wedding, see if I want to make some adjustments.
She says she's glad she's doing the Path to Prosperity competition because she wants to consider all of her options, including possibly contracting with cruise companies. Jim Silverthorne is another finalist. He wants to start a catch-and-release fly fishing competition for steelhead trout on Prince of Wales Island that would draw on tourists every year.
Between all of the native art and the local craftspeople and stuff like that, we're looking at, you know, putting all this together as one realm. And so it would be a pretty big thing.
Silverthorne runs a fishing charter business out of Thorn Bay and says fishermen bring money to the town every summer. He says a steelhead event would start the tourist season earlier, in April, when the sought-after trout are running, and that would bring more revenue to the remote towns on the economically depressed island.
The sales tax that the city gets off of, and then the sales tax that they get off of the grocery store, and those guys are buying gas, they're buying groceries, they're buying booze, they're buying, you know, they're renting vehicles, they're staying in apartments, staying in houses.
Guides would be required to go along with the fishermen, so Silverthorne says the competition could create jobs for residents across the island. The two winners of Path to Prosperity will be announced in February. The annual competition started in 2013 and has awarded a total of $610,000 to 19 winners. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And finally, Anchorage Health Director Joe Gerace resigned on Monday. His resignation came hours after Alaska Public Media confronted him and Mayor Dave Bronson's office with evidence. This evidence showed that Gerace had vastly overstated both his educational credentials and military background. A city press release attributed Gerace's resignation to, quote, severe health issues, end quote, including a stroke last week that left him hospitalized. He had another medical issue on Monday, according to the release. A joint investigation with American Public Media found that Gerace had falsely presented himself as a high-ranking officer in the Alaska National Guard. In fact, Gerace never served in the Guard. He also claimed in a resume he submitted to the city that he has two master's degrees. Reached by phone Monday morning, Drace refused to share information about where he got one of his master's degrees. He claimed he got the other one from a school that didn't offer master's degrees at the time and has no record of him as a student. At times during the hour-and-a-half call, he insisted his resume was factual and at other times admitted that statements in it were inaccurate.
I could see how they'd be misleading for some people, and I think that I used, you know, it was, I don't know if you know the history, but it was kind of a rush thing, and we needed someone, and so I think there's some generalizations that, you know, if someone asked me, I clarify them right away.
Drace's first year as health director has been marked by a COVID-19 surge that overwhelmed the city's two largest hospitals and a rash of staff resignations and a homelessness policy that critics say had led to a humanitarian crisis. The mayor and other city leaders knew that one of Drace's former employees had raised questions about the accuracy of his resume before the Anchorage Assembly confirmed Drace as health director. The former employee emailed her concerns to the Assembly. Later, she testified in a closed-door assembly meeting that the mayor attended, where she says she raised the same concerns. Despite her warnings, the Bronson administration didn't verify Drace's credentials. Immediately following the hearing, the assembly confirmed Drace's appointment to a job that pays nearly $120,000 a year. That's a job that's responsible for some of the city's most vulnerable residents. Bronson did not respond to a list of questions about Drace's credentials on Monday. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.